Well, Happy New Year, everyone. It's good to be together. I don't know about you, but I love the holidays, but I love when we go back to normal. I love when routine returns. Anybody? Yeah, am I alone? Okay. If we haven't met, I'm Angela Bice. I have the amazing privilege of being the campus pastor at our Grants Trail campus. That's our South City campus. So big shout out to you all at Grants Trail who are watching. I love you. Be back with you next week. Also to those watching online or at Mid Rivers or at Fenton, also in the Hub. We're so glad that you're joining us. It is just good to be together today at the beginning of this new year. Well, we paused the study we were doing of the book of Acts to talk about this great Christmas story, the Messiah who, after all that time, generations, decades waiting, arrived. And we heard about the angel that showed up to a young girl named Mary and then spoke to her fiancé Joseph and how together they formed this beautiful family and Jesus grew up in their home. Then the shepherds were out just minding their own business, doing what they do, and an angel showed up. And here's what the angel said to them: I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Here's the great news for us today: that good news that brings great joy is still for us, and it's for all people. So that's what I hope that we can see together today, that there is still an invitation to us to enter that story. So I have a very important question I want us to ask ourselves and to look at today. But first, will you pray with me? Jesus, we are so grateful that you, the Messiah, came for us. We are so grateful that we can sing together your praises. We're so grateful that we can say one day we'll see you in all of your glory. So we invite you today to be with us. We invite you to have access to what you want to say to us, to our hearts. May we have open hearts, open minds to what you want to say. In your name we pray, amen. Well, so the question I want to ask us is this: are you a good listener? Now, don't elbow the person next to you. I'm asking you. Are you a good listener? Do we listen well? Well, as we jump it back into the book of Acts next weekend, we're going to start seeing that the Jesus who we just talked about, the Jesus after his birth, his death, and his resurrection kept showing up. He kept speaking. And the ones who had walked with him in the flesh on the earth couldn't help but go tell others, look, the Messiah came. The Messiah is still with us. And as we move through the book of Acts, what we see is that others who didn't actually experience him in the flesh, they experience him through the Holy Spirit, and they start telling people. Now, we're going to see it often got messy. They didn't always get it right. If we're honest, we still kind of make a mess of things sometimes. We don't always get it right. But they were excited to share this great news that the Savior came. And not only that the Savior came, but he was still coming to them. He was still speaking. And they carried that through Acts, and we'll see where that goes, all through the New Testament, that Jesus kept showing up. But the great news is that story didn't end with the Bible. It still goes on today. This is still our story. The Church of Jesus Christ was born as they spread the news, and now we're invited to hear him speak, and we're invited to be part of that story. I hope you got to make one of our Christmas Eve services. We had such a good time. For weeks before that, we had staff and volunteers who showed up to decorate trees and put lights up and make the rooms beautiful. They rehearsed for weeks to get ready for those services. And then we had volunteers who showed up for multiple services to direct traffic in the freezing cold, direct traffic to greet people, to sing, to love on babies, to talk to children about the story of Jesus in ways that they could understand, to clean up, pass out pancake mix. We showed up to do this together. Now, why do we do that? Why would so many volunteers give so many hours and spend so much time to make this happen? In fact, that happens week after week. Well, first of all, we have a blast doing it together. We want to say that. We love doing this. We love coming together. It's actually a lot of fun, and we love doing it together. But there's also a bigger reason, and here's why. We are convinced that Jesus is who he says he is. We are convinced that there is a Savior who came, and there is a Savior who still comes for us. And what we know is that there are those who still have questions. You may be here or watching, and you still have questions. We do it for you. We do it because we want you to have a safe place to ask questions. We want you to have a safe place to dip your toe in the water and say, could this be true? We also know that there are those who hope, you hope we know what we're talking about. You hope we're right because no other Savior has come for you. And no other Savior is coming for you. This is the one who has come and still comes and still speaks. That's why we do what we do. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus is saying, I have a voice. The question for us is, are we listening? Recently, I saw a question on social media that caught my attention. You may have seen it too. There were hundreds of responses. And the question was this, in three words, what advice would you give to your 18-year-old self? Now, they didn't always do it just in three words, but I want us to think about that for a minute and do what we do around here often and talk to each other. What advice would you give to your 18-year-old self? Now, if you're 18-year-olds or younger, you might want to just lean in and listen. You might learn something. All right, so take a minute and talk to the people around you. Okay, could we solve all the world's problems, right? If we could just go back. Okay, I can't quote what was happening over here on this row. So we're gonna look at what I read on social media. So here's some of the answers that stood out to me on social media. Trust your gut, don't marry him. Okay, choose friends wisely, find God now. Failure is inevitable. It will be okay. You deserve better. Please stop smoking. Don't be afraid. Call your father. So I asked some of our staff around here, and here were some of their answers. Yes, you can. Believe in yourself. You don't know everything. Don't date Daphne. Now, y'all, Daphne probably found her person. Love others well. Get over yourself. Enjoy the process. Pray like crazy. Play more baseball. Cherish every moment. Gauchos aren't cute. Forgive people quickly. Time runs out. One of mine that first came to my mind was eat more Cheetos. Just eat the Cheetos. But also, you're not crazy. God is faithful. You can trust him. You can follow him. But one that stood out to me that was on social media that kind of broke my heart a little bit was one guy who said, it wouldn't matter. He wouldn't listen. So would you listen to your older, wiser self? Would we listen to God with his wisdom and his invitation? Are we listening? That's our question. Are we good listeners? So God didn't start speaking, you know, when Jesus arrived on the earth. God's been speaking to his people since the beginning of time. Now, sometimes they followed, sometimes they didn't. But he's been speaking in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. It says that God walked with Adam and Eve. They got to talk to him face to face. And then you move just a few books further, and we read about Job, the book of Job, and a man named Job about his life. He had unbelievable blessing and then went through unthinkable loss. He had riches, health, family, and went through the darkest season you can imagine where he lost everything. And he was an upright, respected man, loved by God and man. So three of his friends show up as we read about his life, and they sit with him, and together they try to figure out what the heck just happened and why. This didn't make any sense to them. So when you get toward the end of the book, God finally speaks, and here's what Job says after God speaks. I'd only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. So have you only heard about him? Or have you experienced him in some way for yourself? He's a personal God. The truth is that we can walk with and believe in and trust God for decades, but always just know him from afar. Always just know the God that others talk about. Never quite let him get close. For some of us, I know you may have grown up in the church. You know all the stories. You know all the claims of Christ, but nothing, it just didn't click. Maybe you walked away, maybe you're rethinking it, but could it be that what's missing is you just never gave space for him to come in close? And if that's the case, or if maybe you're, like I said before, just hoping maybe this is right, I want to encourage you to pray a very brave prayer, and it is this. Okay, God, if you're real, Jesus, if you were real, would you please show me? Would you speak personally to my heart? Because, see, we don't come together week after week just to figure out how to be better people or about rules of do's or don'ts or about how to walk through life well. We come together because we believe he has things to say. He has things to say to you. Personal, intimate, invitational, wise, loving things to say to you. Jesus said, you can know my voice. I can know you, you can follow. So are we listening? Pete Grieg wrote a book that some of us are studying right now. It's called How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. So just after the 9 o'clock service, I got a text from a friend who said, well, I can't get that book because it's for normal people. But if you consider yourself normal or not, I highly recommend this book, How to Hear God. And in there, he talks about people who admitted to hearing from God, and it changed their life, but in some cases, it changed history because they heard this invitation from God and they followed. Here are just a few people he mentioned. George Washington Carver, called the African-American father of modern agriculture. Florence Nightingale, the mother of modern nursing, she wrote in her diary, God spoke to me and called me to his service. Harriet Tubman, the escaped slave who helped others flee to freedom. Eric Little, the Scottish Olympian, who said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. I mean, so we can read about all these people in the Bible and their stories, but what I wanted us to see today is there are real life stories happening all around you now of the God who speaks and how we can hear his voice. Now, it's not often an audible voice. In fact, I've never talked to anyone who's heard God's voice audibly. He can do it every once to, but most of the time, as we'll see, it's a nudge. It's a whisper in your heart. It's a thought that you know is not your own. So we're going to see how people heard from God. So what I wanted to do is share a couple of stories about people I know and one from my life where people heard from God and it changed their life because they followed. You may have heard before us talking about an organization, a nonprofit that we work very closely with. It's called A Seat at the Table. Chrissy Sturgis used to be one of the pastors here, and now she and her husband Bob started this nonprofit, and it's for at-risk 18 to 25-year-olds to come into a family setting and to give them the space and the room to change the course of their lives. And so here's what didn't happen. They didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I know, let's start a big nonprofit. Let's quit our jobs and let's start a big nonprofit. No, they took a step at a time. It started when they had a family member, a teenage family member, who had made bad decisions. His life was headed in a terrible direction, and he was ready to turn it around. But in the environment that he was in, he was not going to be able to do it. And so they invited him to come live with them. Now, Bob was a businessman at the time. Chrissy was raising their four boys. And let's be honest, if you have four boys in your house, what's one more? You know, you just buy a lot more meat and take care of one more boy. But they took him in their home, and it gave him the space to make better decisions, to heal, to turn his life in a different direction. Then you fast forward a few years, and they're volunteering in their youth group at the church they were in at the time. And the youth pastor told them about one of the young men who was in their youth group whose home was no longer safe for him. And he was not going to make it in the home that he was in the environment that he was in. So they left hearing that story, didn't think anything of it. But separately, they both kept thinking, having this nudge in their heart, gosh, what if we took him into our family? What if he came and sat at our table? And so they finally admitted to each other after praying that they were both having the same thought. So they followed that nudge and invited him into their home. And then this kept happening. God kept putting young men in their path who needed a safe place to experience family and to be given the room to thrive, given the room to change the trajectory of their lives. So they just kept doing this. At the same time, Chrissy was heavily volunteering in the youth group at her church. The youth pastor decided to resign to do something different, and the church asked her to step in as interim. She said, now this had to be God, because I didn't picture myself all as what a youth pastor should look like. But she said yes. And she said, so as I was doing that, I was thinking, gosh, this might be what I'm supposed to do. I think maybe I should do this job full time. And so she prayed about it. She got counsel from friends. And as she would pray, this is what would go through her mind, Romans 12:1. Now she said, I hadn't yet formally studied the Bible. I had read the Bible quite a bit, but I couldn't quote passages like that. And so I couldn't tell you what that said. That number just kept going through my head. So finally she said, I had the Message version. It was new at the time, and I picked it up and thought, I need to read Romans 12:1. And here's what she read. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. She decided to take that job, and it was the right thing to do. God spoke to her through his word. So they weren't done yet. Just as Bob and Chrissy were entering what we call the empty nest life, they were about to get their last one out the door. They started wondering and dreaming, what would it look like if we did this on a bigger scale? What if we had a bigger house and could take more than one young man in at a time? Then they thought, gosh, what if we could have multiple houses and other people could do this and we could open up a home for young women? And so I don't have time to tell you all the miracles that happened and all the ways that God confirmed that and all the ways that God provided, but he did. And now they have this organization. You can see a house in South City, the house they opened for young women to make room in Ferguson for them. And they will say this was God's unbelievable blessing and call. Here's their mission: to help at-risk 18 to 25-year-olds better transition into adulthood by providing residential mentoring and community resources in a Christian family environment. Now, again, it gets messy. But they are giving these young people who weren't set up for success a chance to thrive and grow and learn inside of a family. Now, I want us to notice the ways God spoke to them, because God was speaking and they followed one step at a time. First, God spoke to them through circumstances, just through the opportunity it was before them, and they considered, could this be God asking us to do that? Next, they prayed like crazy. God spoke to them through his word, through the Bible, and then they got advice from others, and then they just took a step, and the next step, and the next step. Now, before you panic, God doesn't ask everyone to quit their jobs and start a nonprofit. When he speaks to you, that is not necessarily what he's going to say. He speaks in ways. I had a friend who was on my heart one day, and I finally texted and said, I hope you're doing okay. You're on my mind. And she wrote back and said, my dad died 1 year ago today. I can't believe you're thinking of me. Sometimes it's a text. A faithful volunteer at Grants Trail, Cheryl, she had a great career that she really enjoyed as an accountant. She said, for years and years, I loved it, enjoyed what I was doing. And then suddenly, it just didn't have the joy in it for me that it used to. Now it just, I didn't enjoy it like I did. So she talked to her husband, Jim, and they prayed about it. It's like, what does this mean? She didn't know what was next at all, but they finally decided that she should retire. So she retired. Soon after that, their daughter, Abby, who was studying out of state, was diagnosed with cancer. She moved back to St. Louis for her treatment, and her mom was 100% available to walk their family through that treatment and through that season of their lives. Now, sometimes we can miss it when it's God. You can think that's a coincidence that God went before and set up this family to walk through this season. God didn't heal Abby instantly. It was quite a journey. But today, she is cancer-free and starting a career as a professional counselor. We love you, Abby. But they can see now how God went before them and prepared them for what was coming. So God speaks in different ways. The question for us is, are we listening? Pete Grigg, in his book, says, okay, we want to hear from God. We want to speak into each other's lives, but we have to be careful. Let me tell you about a story in my life that happened. If you know my story, you know that my husband and I, our fifth child was born with a rare genetic disorder. So years ago, when he was being treated, there was a hospital in Texas that specialized in his disorder. And I had spent a week there with them running tests. The week had been hard. The results were not encouraging. The prognosis was not good. And I got to the airport, and then on top of that, he was a terrible traveler. He hated being locked up on an airplane, and I was about to have to fly home with him. So he's sitting in the stroller. They put me where they could pre-board us, and we're sitting there, and I kind of felt probably like I had some of the same questions Job had. And I was like, I do not understand. First of all, I don't understand how we got here. I don't understand why it doesn't look like you're providing what we need. I don't understand the next step to take. I don't understand this darkness that I feel. It was like the weight of the world was on me sitting in that airport. And as I'm sitting there, and he's beside me in a stroller, and I look and see that the plane is really small, which is terrible news, because I was like, man, this is not going to be fun. A man kept staring at me. He worked for the airlines, and you know, I tried to ignore that. I knew he was staring at me, and finally it started getting on my nerves, so I was like, what? I mean, does he not know I'm supposed to be sitting here? Or so I kept looking back, and finally he walked right over to me. I'm sitting down, so he gets right up to me and leans down into my face, and he says, don't forget what you know to be true. God's going to provide everything your son needs. Regardless of how it looks, regardless of the circumstances, don't ever forget what you know to be true. And he walked off. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, my first thought as he walked off was, if this guy disappears right now, this is going to be the best story on the planet. He did not disappear. But I cannot tell you the times since those 28 years that have gone by that has come back to my mind. When it didn't look good again, when it didn't look hopeful, when I didn't understand, don't forget what you know to be true. God is faithful regardless of how it looks. Well, a little miracle happened right after he told me that. Sitting, waiting to get on the plane, we finally get on, and it's one of those like with two seats, three seats. And so he and I were in a two-seat one, and again, he hates closed-in spaces. He was starting to escalate. I could tell it wasn't going to be pretty. I was doing what every good and faithful mom would do. I was constantly feeding him M&Ms, trying to get us through this flight. And as we took off, the worst storm and turbulence I've ever experienced on a plane happened. I mean, there was lightning flashing outside my window. The flight attendant was sitting still, holding her seatbelt with the look like, yes, we are going to die, on her face. People are gasping as the plane would drop, and a couple people were crying. And I was like, this is not good. But Michael thought he was on a roller coaster. Not aware of danger, his stomach would drop, and he thought it was the funniest thing ever. So he would belly laugh. And then the craziest thing happened. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone watching this happen. As he started laughing, other people started laughing too. So instead of crying, now they're laughing. The plane would drop and everyone would laugh with him. And I was like, this is a miracle. God sent a storm. Thank you, Lord. I was so grateful for that storm. We made the flight. So God shows up, but we need to be careful, right? And so as we think God speaks something to us, especially if we think we're supposed to share it or someone shares with us and we think it might be a word from God, Pete Grieg in that same book gives three filters that we can put that through. He calls it ABC. So A, is it affirming? Is it strengthening, encouraging, comforting, edifying, and upbuilding? B, is it biblical? This is why it's important for us to know God's word. Is it biblical? Is this word consistent with the broad teaching and witness of Scripture? Here's what you need to know. God will never contradict his word. He will never contradict the principles that he has already set place in this word. This doesn't change. So he is never going to come to you and say, you know what, it's okay to just blow up your family. I want you to be happy. He will never say, you know what, that was so bad, you don't need to forgive that. His word will never be to cheat or to steal or to lie. He will always line up with his word. So always put it through that filter. C, is it Christ-like? Is this word consistent with the character, mission, and message of Jesus? So again, this is why it is so important for us to know God's word. And when we get into his word, it's not just that we know the words that Jesus spoke. Pay attention to how he interacted with people. Pay attention to how he responded to people. And then we'll get to know his character a little more. So Jesus said, I speak, I have a voice. I know you, you can be known by me, and my people follow. So as we will see in the Old Testament, in Acts, all through the New Testament, sometimes his people followed and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes we get a word and follow, sometimes we don't. But here's what I have learned. There have been times in my life where I could feel a nudge from Jesus and say, take that step, and I've had the courage and the bravery to step forward. There have been other times where I wasn't ready, where I was like, you know what, Lord, I just don't know if I am quite ready to do that. And here's what I discovered about our Savior. He's loving and patient, and he will give us the time to process. He will give us the space to mature, give us the time to pray through that. He is patient and gracious with us. Here's what Pete Grieg again says. Could it be that the creator of the cosmos is meek and not pushy, humble and not presumptuous, unassuming and not intrusive? Is that how you imagine God's voice? Invitational, not pushy, loving, giving space. There is a young man that we recently walked through a season of his life. He had made some mistakes. He had made some bad decisions that had the potential of really blowing up his life. And we prayed with him and talked with him through that. And it got to the place where there were possibly some legal ramifications. And so he had to hire help to help him with that. And he called us one day and he said, I mean, here's the reality of what has just happened. I have just wiped out our life savings. My whole family is paying the price for my mistake. It's possible we will never recover from this. And he still didn't know what other consequences might come. And so we prayed with him about that and talked through that. The next day, he called back and he said, you're not going to believe what just happened. He had a side job, a possibility of doing some contract work. And as he's talking to the person he's going to do the work for, they said, yep, we want to hire you for that. We're going to email your proposal, you know, and you can tell us if that looks good. And so later in the day, he got the proposal, and he told us, he said, listen, it was to the dollar, what it had cost me the day before. Now, God comes to us and shows us things in different ways. He doesn't always do it like that. And this young man still had some consequences to pay, but here's what happened in that moment. He, like Job, would say, I only knew him from a distance, and now I know him up close and personal. Now I've experienced what he's really like. He said, here's what I thought. I thought that God would treat me like I should be treated. I thought that God would disqualify me because, listen, I messed up. I thought that God would leave me on my own to navigate this thing and maybe come back around when I got my stuff together again. That's who I thought God was. But God knew how to show him, look, I'm still in it with you. Yep, this was your fault. Yep, this mess is of your making, but I'm not going to leave you. He doesn't stay with us just because we get it right. And he discovered God moving in close and personal to him in that moment. This is who God is. So where do you even start? You might be going, look, I don't even know how to start to hear God's voice. Sometimes we're in the place where we're like, look, there was a time in my life where I really felt like I felt God's presence and his voice, but it feels like he's gone so quiet. It feels like I don't know how to listen anymore. Sometimes we just need new ways to help us listen. Sometimes we just need new ways to experience God and what he's saying, new things. So a couple of things that have helped me, I'll tell you what's helped me in both those instances. First of all, get quiet. Sounds so simple, get quiet. But if you're in any kind of relationship at all, here's what you know. You can't listen while you're talking, right? If you're talking, you're not listening. Now, God wants us to talk to him. Don't get me wrong. But are we taking time also to listen? And for me, one of the things that has helped my spiritual growth the most is every day. I don't do it every day. Every day that I can, I spend time quiet, just sitting before the Lord. I would set the timer for 3 minutes. And listen, this is not easy. So if you attempt this and you go, yes, but my mind went all over the place, yep, that's how that starts. It is not necessarily an easy thing to do. But what I do is I have a phrase, come Lord Jesus, or speak God, I'm listening, or something that just centers me, and I just sit quiet before the Lord. I set my alarm for 3 minutes. Then I moved up to 6 minutes, then 10 minutes, and sometimes I do 20 minutes where I am just a soul sitting before my Savior. Just a person sitting before God, quietly. I have to keep a notebook beside me because I'll start thinking, oh yeah, I gotta make that phone call. Oh yeah, I gotta make that phone call. And that's all I'll think about. So if I write it down, I can let it go. But this is something that creates space. Now, maybe for you, the thought of sitting alone in a room quiet makes you want to scratch your eyeballs out, so don't start there. Another place to start is when you go for a walk or a run or even in your car, keep the podcast off, keep the music off, keep the earbuds out of your ears, and as you walk, make yourself available. Just listen. This is one of the things that has helped me the most. The other is God's Word. Now, we talk about this all the time, that we believe we all need to be in God's Word, but there are different ways to do that. So one of the ways is read the Bible through from start to finish and understand the trajectory of God's story with man. That's great. Sometimes we read it for information, for application. We need to know those things. That's great. But there is another way, and that is to read God's Word for spiritual transformation. Listening, what do you want to say to me? It's possible. Now, one of those ways is called Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine reading. It's simply inviting God to speak to you in a personal way as you read his word. This is how we go from reading about him to listening to his voice. So we're not going to put this on the screen, but I want to read a passage from Psalm 103. And this is a great psalm just about who God is. When my kids were each 5 years old, I had them memorize this psalm because whatever they were going to face in their life, I wanted their default setting to be the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And so I want you to listen, and listen for a word or a phrase that stands out to you. Now, it could be a word or a phrase that you're like, yep, I understand God that way. It might be a word or a phrase that you think, wow, I never thought of that as describing God. Or you know what? You may be in the place where it's a word or a phrase where you're like, I don't know if that's true. I've got questions about that. That's okay. So whatever it is, just listen for a word or a phrase that stands out to you. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. So did a phrase or a word stick out to you like, wow, I might need to take that and think more on that or pray more on that or go back and read that? I need to, that's the question I have. Let me dig into that. Well, I'm going to read it again, but this time after I read it, you're going to get to share with the people around you what the phrase or word was so you can see how different things stand out to different people. You don't have to elaborate. This is because I believe it, because I don't, because it's encouraging. Just what is the phrase that stands out to you? Okay, one more time. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. All right, take a minute to talk to each other. Okay, was it interesting what other people heard from you? Well, this is a way to read the Bible, to slow down, to take smaller chunks of it and read that over and over and see what God will speak to your heart. So really what we need to do is just take a step. Just take the next step. Pray, seek counsel, put it through the filters, but take a step. There have been three times that I can think of, especially, where my husband and I prayed, sought the Lord, got counsel, took a step, and immediately knew it was the wrong one. Immediately knew we were in the wrong place. It wasn't the time, whatever it was. And here's what we discovered in those moments. God is bigger than our mistake. He's bigger than our ability to hear or not hear. He's just bigger than that. And every time, and these were big steps that we took, every time he came behind us, he helped us pivot, he blessed the effort, and moved us in the right direction. Don't be afraid to miss it. Don't be afraid to fail. God's actually bigger than that. He loves it when we take the step that we feel like we're supposed to take. He's with us in that. So the promise is not that he's going to take all our problems away. You'll never hear us say that. The promise is a Savior came for you. The promise is He's with you today. The promise is He speaks. The promise is a way through, whatever it is. The promise is Himself. There was a song that we sang at Christmas time, and the words were Emmanuel, God with us. And I thought, man, why do we only use the word Emmanuel at Christmas time? It's such a great name for who God is, God with us now. So I want you to listen to the words of this song, and I want you to think about the truth that He is with you now. He speaks today.